What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Deshari. Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective, the show dedicated to having dope conversations and opening up the world to different perspectives. Today, we have special guests. Guests, that's plural. They have been dating for 5 years. They are individually dope, but together, they are a powerhouse. They are setting the standard for Black love in this day and time. I'm truly excited to talk about all things Black love and inquire their perspective for us single folks. You hear me? You may know them for their own podcast, Ode to Black Love. Please welcome Leck and Germ. What's up, y'all?
What's up? What an intro. I don't know if we've ever been intro before.
No, yeah, but that was like such a great introduction. I'm like, oh, damn, us?
Yeah, I'm like, dang, that's kind of lit.
Most definitely. Y'all are setting the standard. And like I said, I'm excited to talk about all things Black love. But before we do that, let's jump into That's My Jam. This is a segment of the show where we are going to talk about your mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what y'all got for us?
You want to go first?
I can go first. I feel like both, since we're doing it together, I feel like it influenced our decisions.
Facts.
Because like, I chose Wedding Cake by Division. But uh-huh. It's a song that come on whenever it come on. It kind of took me back to our wedding day. It wasn't even out then, but it's like, man, like I get those feels. You know what I mean? Like I get those feels. Like I'm really like in love. Like I can see like envision like our next like vow renewal or whatever. So like it just put me in that vibe. It's like a song. Like every time I hear it, like I don't ever skip it. I'm like, I might run it back. Like, dang. Like, yeah. Like, I'm trying to get married again.
That's funny. I feel like I haven't heard that song. Or maybe I have, and I just don't know.
It's not like you got the best memory.
The shots are already being fired. Golly.
I'm sure I sent it to you before. I send you songs every now and then. I'm thinking about you. Not a lot, but you know.
Anyways.
Yeah.
The song that I chose was 1+1 by Beyonce. That is my jam. We actually danced to that on our wedding day. And so it kind of does, just like Jeremy Brent, take me back to our wedding day, but just also our love, our connection. We have a really deep bond and it's a really deep connection. Like we really are good friends. And so when I listen to that song, it just reminds me of this inseparable love that we have. And so I was like, that's my jam. But he's right. I think us doing this together influenced the song that we chose.
Yeah, because I was like, I was going to send some, like, 80s stuff. But I'm like, Alexis hate 80s stuff. I'm like, I don't have time to be on here arguing. You know, I was
so
like.
So why are you bringing it up?
Because I just got to let it be known. Like, I do think it was influenced a little bit. I can't act like I wasn't swayed a little bit.
Listen, it's all good. I'm glad that you both chose songs that meant something to you about love and takes you back to your wedding day. I think that's a big thing. But let's get into both of you guys' jam.
I got you. If I ain't got something, I don't give a damn. Cause I got it with you.
Get some Marvin Gaye. Then we gon' throw on Maxwell, Mary J. Then bend that jacket, that's like it's our wedding day. Don't need no reason for us to celebrate.
Yo, that's what's up.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm like you,
I don't think I really heard that song until today, for real. But that's a nice little vibe. A nice little vibe.
And yeah, that's
a vibe.
1+1 is always going to be a moment.
Yeah, it's always going to go. It's always going to go.
Forever a classic.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite Beyonce like album era. Yeah, I'm not a super big Beyonce. Don't kill me. But I love that album. I actually played that, you know.
Anyway.
That's what's up. Okay, so let's get into it. Who is Leck and who is Germ individually?
Well, that's a complex question. So individually, I'll kind of go and I'll speak for myself. I'm a young Black professional who works in the human resource / organizational development space. And I've been working in this space for about 8 to 10 years at this point. I'm really just chill. I feel like a little down to earth, very goofy, but just someone who's grounded in like my core values, which one of the biggest one for me is family. And so just someone who's very family oriented, but also loves my career and really strives to be the best that I can be.
That's what's up.
I agree with all that.
You do? I didn't lie.
I don't think so. People be getting on here lying. I'm Jeremy. First and foremost, I'm like a husband, a father. You know, I love, those are like my two main things that I really like. When I think of myself, those are the two things that I put first. Like, those are very important to me. Right now, I'm an operations manager. I went back to school. I'm currently a college student. I was going back to school for psychology. So ultimately, I want to be a therapist and have my own practice and stuff like that. You know, help deal with families and stuff like that over, I guess, maybe the pandemic, would you say? It's like, yeah, kind of when I pandemic. Fell into my like kind of passion for like family systems and helping other men out with mental health problems, or, you know, like, you know, preaching about how important the family is and stuff like that. So as far as personality, I'm super chill. Like anytime, like I have a professor that I always be like, you know, give one thing about you. I'm like, I'm always like chill. You know, once you get to know me, I'm funny. But most people think I'm standoffish until then, but you know, wow. I'm pretty chill.
That's what he's regimented too.
I regiment, yeah. I don't like stuff to change a whole lot. Yeah. I could change, but I don't like it.
Yeah. Chill until things get out of order.
That's what's up. Okay, so I asked individually, can you guys give me like a synopsis of you guys together? Because now you are one.
That's what everybody sees, I feel, in the world, because we don't ever go nowhere and be like, where is so let me see what the world think, because I don't think we always fighting it, but we always like, why you always asking me where they at? But I would say together we goofy
just together. Straight up dumb, girl.
We always gonna be dumb together, like in the wrong, we could be in a funeral acting dumb.
We could be in the middle of an argument, dumb. Yeah. Just like I would say we probably just super goofy, not very outgoing, very, very much introverted to a certain degree. Like, we like being at home. We go to bed by 9 o'clock. I don't know. Like, we're just, I don't know.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, because we got different, it depends on what phase of life you catch us. Because right now, we in our like, super family bag.
Yeah.
And like you called us like a year ago, we was like out every weekend. You know, I guess it's just kind of how you catch us.
But I think our preference is probably still introversion.
Probably. Yeah. But as a couple, I think, all right, we ain't doing an interview, so I guess I could say like as a couple, though, we are very, we like to reach out to other couples and stuff like that. And also like kind of build the couple community. I don't think we've been able to do as much as we would like this past year because we've been really, really busy. But we really find enjoyment out of like spreading the word about like, hey, it's cool to be like married or in a relationship or whatever. Like, it can be fun because it can be hard, but it can also be fun. Like, don't let the hard parts get you down and that kind of stuff. I think that's really kind of our message. Like, marriage is fun too. I think that's just kind of like an easy, you mentioned kind of like a mantra. Like, marriage is lit. Marriage is fun. Like, you gotta find your partner, learn how to communicate with your partner. Like, it's really unmatched. You know, finding somebody you can really vibe with and trust every day, you know, somebody that's gonna be there for you every day and stuff like that. So like I said,
and I would also add to that, as a couple and individually, but mainly as a couple, one thing about us, we're just committed to doing the best or being our best, and so that means like continued growth through all levels of our lives, individually, as a couple, which is why we go to therapy still. Like, it's just, we're committed to just kind of rising to be our best at all times.
That is so good. I'm so glad that you guys are pushing the message that marriage is actually fun, because I feel like in today you can kind of get wrapped up in, you know, either being single or, you know, having a strife in marriage or somebody stepping out on somebody. So pushing marriage, like, you guys seem like y'all are best friends, like sitting here watching you two, the chemistry is amazing. The bond is there. And so I am excited that, you know, there's another couple out there that people can see and say, hey, I can, if nothing else, I can pattern myself after Lekinger.
I don't think that's even what we try to be, but it's really like fun. Like, I won't say like it's always, it's not always sweet, you know what I mean? But it's like, bro, like, you go through your ups and downs, but it's nothing you really can't communicate through and enjoy each other. Like that, this is my, you hit on the head. Like, this is my best friend.
Yeah.
I think we've been calling each other best friends for a long time. Like, this is my wife, no doubt, you know, but like, this is my best friend. Like, no matter what, like, you know, I think we share pretty much everything with each other for the most part, you know? And it's just like, I mean, shoot, like I got a best friend, but it's like, it ain't this though. Yeah.
That's what's up. But speaking of best friends and love, what does Black love mean to you both?
What does Black love mean to us? To me, it kind of means everything. Like, just knowing, when I think about Black love, I think a lot about like the love that it took to get us here as individuals. So the love between our parents, the love between their parents, and just, I feel like Black people in general are oftentimes a product, for the most part, of Black love. And so when I think of Black love, I just think of this nuanced element that just creates joy, that creates people. And if you nurture it well and you really pour into it, it can be the most amazing thing. It can produce some of the most amazing things. Think about the Black people who are in this world, who are just doing great things. Like, that is a product, for the most part, of Black love. And so, I don't know, when I think of Black love, I just think of excellence and just this richness that if you nourish it and nurture it right, it'll just be the most amazing thing that you ever seen.
Wow. Yeah, for me, it's like, I kind of think like legacy. Like, I think it's very like important to like, you if you see Black love, you know, it's like, okay, I can see that, I can achieve that. A lot of things out there we don't know are possible because you can't see it or tangibly touch it. And so it's like, okay, like I see a Black couple doing well, like I see that for myself. I don't have any issues with interracial couples or anything like that, but it's like I can visually see that for myself. Like, that's me, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I see a Black couple that's been rocking for a long time, I'm like, dang, like maybe we can make it that far, you know, 30, 40 years. I'm like, I can see that for myself. So Black love for me is kind of like legacy. It's like, it's powerful, it's strong, it's persevering, you know, it perseveres. It's like, it's a lot of things that try to keep us from being together, or, you know, try to keep you not being in a relationship, or, you know, it's easier to seek out something from, let's say, a different demographic or whatever it may be. But I just don't feel like nobody's going to understand me like somebody that's like
a Black woman.
Yeah,
that's so, so good. And I'm glad that you guys are speaking to legacy and longevity, because my parents are married for 24 years. And so, you know, this year they've been married for 24 years. And so it's like, you want to see Black people stick together and stay together. And you don't get to see that often, but I feel like we're bringing it back. I don't know. I've been seeing it a lot. I've been seeing Black love. And so, hopefully there's a shift in our community. We can stick together and we can stay together for sure, because that is important for the kids, you know.
The kids, yes.
Man, talk about it.
Yes. I do. I agree with you. I think there is a push right now. Like, I'm seeing it a lot. I feel like when we first got married, and maybe it was due to social media and where social media was at the time, but like, we didn't see a lot of Black love or Black couples. I know I didn't have a lot of examples of Black, I shouldn't say Black love, I should say Black marriages in my family, or Black people staying together, because the love was there, but staying together was not. And then when I met Jeremy, he had like lots of examples. So his parents had been together at that time for almost 20 years. His grandparents were together on both sides. So he had a good amount of examples, but outside of those, like, we just didn't see it or hear about like what the journey of marriage would be like. Which is kind of why we started our podcast. But fast forward to 2023, and I'm like, I get on TikTok and I see Black couples. I get on Instagram, I see Black couples. I get on, not the podcast, but I get on Facebook. We look for podcast guests and we find out there are a lot of Black couples out there. So I agree. I think Black love is being highlighted and represented in the media, and it's been beautiful to see and kind of witness.
Yeah, like she mentioned, I don't think it's just beyond like showing or seeing people be together, because like, it's a lot of people that could just be miserable together.
That's true.
But, you know, like, okay, like, it's people out here being healthy together. Like, okay, like, we trying to be better. We trying to do something different. Like, yeah, my parents was married for whatever, however many years, but like, was they happy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, like, let's be together for a long time, but like, let's be better than the generation before us. And, you know, let's be happily married for 20 some years instead of like, well, you know, we said we wasn't gonna get a divorce, so here we are, you know, just living in the same house,
yeah,
or whatever, what you see, you know, sometimes out there. But I think it's like seeing people be happy together, do things together, you know, break down those, like, you know, like those gender roles, like break that stuff down, like dads being more involved, you know, that kind of stuff is like, you know, where it's like, man, it's more 50-50. Like, all right, we doing life together. Not you do your, you know, not you over there, I'm over here. It's like, it's a lot of people out there doing life together. And, you know, I always got to take it back to the dad tip, which is like, I feel like I always hijack because it's super important to me. But it's like, I like when I get on and see like dads changing diapers and stuff like that, you know, and giving, you know, giving moms like a break or whatever, or guys in there cooking with their wife and stuff like that. I'm like, that's cool to me. It's like, you know, like, we can split it up, like we a duo, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it don't gotta just be like I work, you stay home, or whatever. All the arguments that you see on Twitter or whatever these days, or whatever, it's like, bro, like we together, we a unit. Forget it, don't matter who do what or how who do what. Like, this is our the way we move, and y'all move the way y'all move.
Y'all gotta speak. Yes. All of that, and more. So, what was your biggest aha moment in marriage?
Let's say for me, I'll say for me, and it's, I don't know if it's necessarily an aha moment, but it kind of is. But there came a time where I was like, okay, like she wants the best for me no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it came a moment, because it's like, especially like in society today and being as a male, it's like, okay, I need to make sure I do this. I need to make sure I pay this. I need to make sure I'm there for this. I need to make sure I'm taking care of this. And then, you know, there was a day where I think we had to sit down and she was like, you know, like, you don't have to do all of that if you don't want to. You know what I mean? Like, I think it actually was early on, but I probably didn't catch it till later on. Because before we even got married, like, we kind of went through different. But before we got married, right before we got married, Alexis was making more than me, considerably more than me when we first got engaged.
When we first got engaged,
it wasn't before we got married. But when we first got engaged, she was making considerable more than me, and I was like, okay, like I'm trying to like do everything I can to like kind of like pay as much as I can and stuff like that. And back then, she even was like, you know, like I got money. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like we not rich, you know. Yeah. But she was like, you know, like I can pay sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I'm like, nah, you know, like trying to do that or whatever.
Can I speak to that for a little?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, because what was happening is like when we got engaged, we immediately moved in together. And so when we moved in together, I can't remember what we was doing about bills. It wasn't 50-50. I think he was paying more than I was at the time. But I was making a little bit more. But I'm like, okay, you know what? This is how you want to lead. This is how you want to lead. That's cool. But then it came down to like going out and stuff and going out to eat. And we were staying in an apartment downtown. So we was really in the mix. And so he would say like, no, nah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But the main reason why he didn't want to go is because he didn't have money to pay for it. Meanwhile, I'm sitting on money because he's paying more. I make more. And so I had to tell him like, bruh, I don't understand. Like, just because you don't got money, I got money, so we got money. So let's go out to eat. Let's go to Plaza Fest. Let's do this. But he wasn't feeling it because he wanted to foot the bill every single time we went out. He wanted to make sure he was paying majority of the bills every time. And so I had a campaign probably for like 7 months where I'm just like, let's put our money together. And it took him a while to agree to it. But once he did, it ended up working out, because then I took a job where I took pay cut. And so now I'm not making as much, but baby, our money is our money.
It was a setup the whole time, so she could take a job to pay less. No, but yeah, like I said, I feel like it didn't really like hit me probably till, I don't know, maybe I've been in school almost 2 years, because I decided to go back to school. And then you were kind of just like, you know, if you want to take a job that pay less or whatever, which I still haven't yet, but she put it on the table for me. She was like, if you ever want to just like take a job that's like less demanding and, you know, like whatever, it's like, I got, you know, we good. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like whatever we got to do to get through this phase or whatever, like we good. You don't have to worry about, you know, making so much money or whatever. Yeah. Like we going to be okay. Like we together, essentially. Like it don't matter how much money we have or how much freedom. Like if we don't get to go on some vacations or whatever, that's fine. Like, whatever we got to do to help you get to your goal. Right. And so that was kind of my aha moment. Like, she really locked in. You know what I'm saying? Like, she told me a long time ago, right, but it's like she really locked in. It ain't about nothing that I provide, like, financially. She ain't here for nothing that I bring financially.
Absolutely like not.
It's you know, other things, and that make me feel real you know, more secure. It's like, because a lot of, you know, you get, as a man, sometimes you get insecure, like, you like, man, I can't take less, you know. I can't make less because you know, like, I'm supposed to provide and do all of this stuff. But like I said, that was kind of my aha moment. It was like, wow, like, she really, like, locked in with me, and no matter what, like, you know, if I lost my job tomorrow, she ain't leaving me, you know, it's kind of stuff. So
that's a real one right there,
man. I'm like, kick your feet up, chill. Like, why are you rushing to find a job? And not that we out here rich or anything, but we not struggling. So that's my biggest thing. Like, we're not struggling. So, like, like, figure out what you want to do, because we've done a lot of life together. And while doing this life together, I've had to figure me out. I went back to school and got a master's degree while taking a job to pay less money. So, like, I feel like he held me down through a season of trying to figure out what I wanted to do in my career. And now that I figured it out and I'm actually excelling, I'm like, do that for you, bro. And he is. But I'm like, if that comes with you taking a little less money, especially because in the therapist field, you know, starting out, like, that may not be as lucrative as you want it to be. I'm like, do whatever is going to give you the skills necessary to advance and excel. Like, don't worry about trying to take the highest paying job, because, like, we're not struggling. Like, plus, I don't really care about money. Is it money in a bank account for me to get some Starbucks? Okay, we good. Like, I ain't worried about it. Like, I'm not worried.
And that's so good that you guys talked about that, because, you know, I believe that pride, you know, can get in the way, but also the standards that society sets on, you know, people who are in a relationship, whether it's engaged or married, can be a burden, because, you know, nowadays people want to be flued out and paying for everything. And
so talk about it.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so being realistic and having somebody who has a good head on their shoulders, man, like, that's why I say you're a real one, because many women, they don't think like that, and they won't allow their man to live, you know, in what they're doing or in their career or take a pay cut. They'd be like, I need you to provide for me. Listen.
That'd be so funny to me, because, like, money is just, in my opinion, from my perspective, a tiny faucet of providing. Yeah. My husband just built a whole ass deck.
Come on.
Where we have this Coleman cabana. We got furniture out there. He's about to mount a TV into some brick. Like, I don't need the money when my man can just do so much more for us. Our hot water go out, we don't really call nobody. Jeremy go out there and fix it. The AC fucking up, Jeremy looks into it and figures out how to fix it. So, like, to me, money is just a very, very small piece of providing, when literally I have zero worries as it pertains to something that may go on in this house. He's going to provide and make sure it's taken care of regardless. So that's always so interesting to me how women prioritize that. Meanwhile, they man can't even pick up a tool and fix a goddamn toilet. Like, I just can't relate. I can't relate. I don't like that.
Girl, you better speak. I'm just going to say that if you ain't got some of the other standards met, maybe money is not your biggest worry.
Okay, because period. Period.
You guys made a post saying, quote, okay, good relationship is when someone accepts your past, supports your present, and encourages your future, end quote. Going into your relationship, did you realize that this, or did you take time to realize this?
Oh, that took time. We just had a conversation. Can't
last
even
night,
talk.
Yeah, last
we
night.
Just had a conversation last night about our past. And still, like, accepting certain things from our past, mainly on my end, but that's something I think we are learning still.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it was something we're learning. I think we're pretty good, though. I don't think it's nothing that, like, is detrimental to us. But it's like, sure. I guess it's like looking into it. And I want to be a therapist and stuff. So, but it's like looking into the past to help understand your person.
Yes.
So, like, if you don't know where a person came from, then you kind of don't understand the decisions they make or why they might operate the way they operate. So, like, you know, me and Alexis come, when we first got together, I think we swore we was just alike.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, the more we got to know each other, we was like, bro, like, we totally different, yeah.
Totally different.
Totally different. It's because we just come from two totally different, like, upbringings. I mean, it's not that different, but, you know, like, we had different upbringings. Our parents is totally different. Like, We had different amounts of siblings. We had different, you know, like just our whole life is different. It's like, okay, like I see why you operate the way you operate, how, why you feel the way you feel. It's like, okay, like I know where you come from. So I see how you feel. And you gain more perspective and more understanding. And like when people like do certain things, it's not like, oh, you blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, like that makes sense. Or like, you know, like, or even like past relationships or things like that. You're like, okay, like I see like why. You know, maybe you're not as trustworthy, you know, not trustworthy, yeah, but not as trusting in this situation. And like, that's just something we need to work on. Or, you know, maybe I messed up in our relationship in the past part of our relationship where it's like, okay, like I need to help gain some of your trust back because I let you down in this area or whatever. So I think it's all encompassing. I don't think it's like some people be like, just look forward. And I think that's what I was early on, was like, let's just look forward and move on. You know, like, let's just forget everything that's back there. Don't worry, everything that's back there. Like, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. And then I think it took for us to be like, all right, let's stop. Let's look back. Let's, you know, unpack.
Yeah, that's therapy.
Yeah, unpack some of the things that happened in the past. You know, so let's unpack some things that happened in the past with y'all or with your parents or whatever it may be. And then like, all right, now we can look to move forward.
Yes.
Because I felt like a lot of stuff in the past kind of held me back from being the best spouse that I could be.
Yeah, I agree.
That's good. It seems like you guys are very like intentional. So how did you guys become intentional in loving each other the way that you guys both individually want to be loved instead of how you personally would like to be loved?
Therapy.
But it took definitely therapy. But I would say what got us to start being intentional is because I think it got to a point where we wasn't very happy. I won't say we wasn't like miserable. I don't think we ever got to miserable, but I say we got to the point where it was like, why is we doing this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is we like this? Like, this ain't why we got married. It got to the point where it was like, this is not why we got married. Like, we just arguing every few months or every few weeks or whatever. And they like pretty good arguments, you know? And like, we spirited couple. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. We have our disagreements. We don't like, you know, like we don't always agree on everything, but like, we was really just like, like I just don't want to be around you. And I think it got to that point where it's like, okay, like are we gonna choose to grow together or grow apart? You know, it got to that point where it was like, okay, like we can feel us growing apart. And so I'll give her the credit. Like she's like, we need to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I was like, eh. But then I was like, okay, I appreciate it. I was definitely that guy in therapy the first like couple times, like, I don't know why I'm here. And now I want to be a therapist.
Now you want to be a therapist. Yeah, so really the catalyst was the pandemic. Well, I think it was like, so we had our son in December of 2019. So right, like 3 months before the pandemic. Okay. 3 months into 2020, the pandemic happened. We're spending a lot of time together. And then all of that, so becoming new parents, spending that time together, like being locked in the house. Like you said, we just started to like bicker and beef. And it wasn't as frequent, but it was like when we did beef, it would just be like, what the hell? Like, I really don't even.
Yeah, I don't like this.
I don't like this. Like, yeah, I don't like this at all. And so finally in 2021, because we were already going to therapists individually. So I had a therapist, he had a therapist. And in 2021, we were like, you know what? Let's go to a couples therapist because we knew that like, we couldn't sustain our marriage the way we were going. And like, we both had the forethought to see like, yeah, we probably could last like and be married forever. But like, would this be enjoyable? And I think it was a hell no, absolutely not for me.
Can I don't want to interrupt you too bad because I forgot that we was going individually.
Yeah.
And I think you was going first. But when you got a partner that's going to start going to therapy, it's annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very annoying. Like, okay, like you trying to be this bigger person. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, like you got it all figured out or whatever. And so I think it took for us to go together where it was like, because you could be like, well, my therapist said, or what my therapist said, you know what I mean?
It got real childish in the household.
Yeah, like, well, your therapist wants you to grow, but I need this, blah, blah, blah. So I think I will say, like, before I forget, like, it did take us for us to go together because I forgot that we was going individually for a little bit. So I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But yeah, we ended up going to couples therapy in 2021. And that's when, I guess we were already trying to be intentional, but that's when we really started to gain the tools to be intentional in our marriage and like the different things that we should practice. But I think a big reason why we started that was probably Noah. Cause like, as much as we wanted to sustain our marriage, we knew like, hey, we got this son that is looking at us and will be looking at us for his entire life. And we know the impact that parents can have on children. So we were like, yeah, we ain't gonna do him like that. Like, he may need to heal from some stuff, but we're going to do our best to not make it as much as we got to heal from.
Not trying to pass down what we got.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So we talked about parents a little bit earlier in the episode. What are the talks that you guys had with your parents or are currently having or encouragements that you may have been having to sustain the healthy relationship that you guys have right now?
It's been growth. It's definitely been growth. You're talking about with our parents, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely been growth. And it's been an interesting time because my parents that raised me currently going through like a split. But it's been interesting because early on, like, I don't think I was the best spouse as far as like, I don't know. It's like sometimes when you be a person, you be like, that's just my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I had a lot of that where I was like, I'm very non-confrontational to begin with, but it's like, oh, like, why are you tripping? Like, that's just my family. Like, that's just how they is or whatever. Like, they going to be whatever. And she's like, I don't like it. And I'm just like, well, like, that's just like my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's who they are, you know, kind of deal. So it took like a while for it's like, okay, like finding that happy medium where it's like, okay, like, well, I'm still working on it. But it's like making sure that she feel supported and stuff like that, and also being like talking to my parents and being like, can you chill on that kind of deal or whatever. I don't think we have too many issues like with parents being in our business. Like, I feel like a lot of people have that issue. I don't think we have that issue at all. But as far as like when we around or somebody do something or say something sassy or something, like, I think it's, like I said, it's still something we definitely working on, but it's something that we definitely had conversations about. It's like being trying to be supportive and not be rude to your parents or whatever, but also being like, hey, like, my spouse need this, you know, whatever. And if that doesn't happen, you know, well, if she don't want to come around, you know, that kind of stuff is like, well, that just is what it is. Like, you know, and I'm not going to make her, I feel like we've done a pretty good job about that too. Like, if you don't want to go to a family deal, like, it's not like I think that's the agreement we came to. Like, if you don't want to go, smooth, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't want to go smooth, if I don't want to go smooth, we're not gonna argue about it, but I'm not gonna keep you from going either.
Yeah,
like, it's just kind of like whatever. But I don't think we would just be like not seeing each other's family either.
Yeah, and so as far as his parents go, I think we had a few good conversations with them. So he has his parents that raised him, so that's his dad, a biological dad, and his stepmom, technical stepmom. Then he also has his biological mom, that we have relationships with all of them. And I will say, me and his, I've had to have a conversation with both of his moms.
Everybody.
where we just had to sit down and get on the same page as far as like expectations and just like things that I was cool with, wasn't cool with, and just really cleared the air on some stuff. And I feel like seriously, since those conversations, especially with both of his moms, we really haven't had any issues. Like, I love both of his moms. And then all of his parents love Noah, pouring to Noah, all that. So definitely good in my book. As far as my parents, so my dad passed away when I was 15. It's okay. But so Jeremy didn't have to. Stop, you know that's my trauma response.
Yeah,
I'll be laughing.
I knew it was coming. I'm like, oh, here she go, deflect.
Stop. Anyways, so I only have one living parent, which is my mom, and I don't know. I feel like we ain't had no conversations with my mom.
The only conversations we have is if she liked me more than her.
And so my mom has 6 kids. I have 5 siblings, 4 sisters for my mama and a brother. And so, like, she ain't really worried about us. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, she loves us. She comes over. She pours into us. She keeps my son. But, like, we don't really have no.
Yeah.
Yeah. We good. Me and mom's sister.
Yeah. Well, she just be chilling.
That's good that you guys all have open transparency across the board. Because I feel like that's super important. You know, blending two families together and two lives together, that's super, super important. So I kind of want to get into a little bit about a conversation for us single folks, I guess I could say. So for us people in singleness, how do we actively prepare for relationships that could potentially lead to marriage?
You want to take it or you want me to?
How do you prepare? It's really not. I mean, I guess going to, if you want to be in a relationship, I think it's important, like, to understand, like, you want to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a big part is, like, okay, like, I actually want to be in a relationship. Okay. I think that's step one. But then understanding, like, being single is selfish. Not like being single is selfish, but like being single is selfish. Like when you with somebody else, you have to be selfless. You know what I'm saying? Like when you are in a relationship, you have to live for you and that person. Like the decisions you make also impact the person that you with. So it's like, oh yeah, like I always did that. But then it's like, well, you also got to think for another person. So like, I would say like preparing for it is like, I guess just understanding and being like selfless, learning how to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have to make sacrifices. Like, yeah, you might want to go out with the boys on Thursday to watch football, on Saturday to watch football, on Sunday to watch football. But like maybe her love language is like quality time. And so you leaving her at the crib 3 days of the week, and you know, and whatever it may be. But I think it's like learning how to be selfless. I say that's like the biggest thing. Like when I talk to like guys or people, it's like, we're like, talk to them. Like it's always easy to say communication, but like in order to communicate, you got to be like be a little selfless to receive what the other person is saying. So that's all. I mean,
what I would add, the only thing I would add to that, or the big thing I would add to that, is if you're a person who is single and you want a relationship, I would just strongly encourage you to get to know you while looking for a partner, because the biggest thing to me that happens when you get into a relationship is you start to combine your lives. Like you said, you start to have to be selfless, and then you start to understand different like triggers or just different things start to pop up from your past that you're like, why do I do this thing? Or why does this thing that they do annoy me? And I say, if you know that you want a relationship, you should get a jump start on that journey, so that the process of combining and communicating are much easier. And I'm not saying that it'll absolve you from all your problems, but if you start to understand you, you can then start to create those boundaries and know your boundaries. So when you enter into that relationship, you can be upfront like, hey, this is what I will tolerate. This is what I will accept. These are the things that trigger me. Like, you'll just be able to have an open conversation so that person that you are entering a relationship with understands who you are and knows how to treat you. But when you don't do that, because I would honestly say, we didn't do that shit. Like, we didn't do that. And so, because we didn't know. Like, didn't what? Know about it yet. But I think that's why a lot of our problems manifested from is just not even truly understanding ourselves. And I would still say it's so much to learn about ourselves and our past selves. But if you get a jump start on that journey, it'll just make things, in my opinion, probably a bit smoother.
Yeah. I don't want to hop in because, like, that is, like, I think it's a total balance. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cause it's about, cause we in the era learning about boundaries and learning about things like that. And like a good example, people like we had, like I go to a men's group, and the way we explained it was like putting up walls with doors, walls with no doors, you know, kind of deal. And it's like, okay, like understanding what is a wall? What is something that you'll move on? Cause I could say, like, you can go out there and learn yourself and say, this is what I will take and this is what I won't take. But also, it's like you do have to have some fluidity, because it's also another individual that got deals that they will deal with and what they don't deal with. So where can we come to a middle ground and like be, you know, together and move together kind of thing? So like I said, I think it's a delicate balance. Like, I think you should definitely know yourself, like especially like if you've been hurt in a relationship in the past or something like that. I think it's very important to be like, okay, like, I'm comfortable being by myself and I'm comfortable in my own skin. But, you know, knowing your boundaries, what you do like, but also being like open. I think it's open to be open to like some change. Cause I think, I mean, we've been together like 9 years, almost 8 years, and 8.5 years, something like that.
Almost 10.
2014. So it's 2003.
So yeah, almost
so
nine.
Almost nine. Yeah. So it's like, you're going to change. That individual is going to change. You're going to change. So I think it's important. Like, why you might set certain standards for yourself, like also give yourself some room to like change and grow and like, okay, like, I don't think I might like that. I don't think that's for me. but you know, let me even maybe try and like, okay, I know that's not for me or whatever, you know, kind of deal. Cause I think like being in a relationship is about being fluid. Cause like we are, I don't want to say totally different individuals, but
yeah,
much different than when we first got together. And there's a lot of things that I feel like we both at that time were like, I'm gonna go, I wouldn't go for that, I would go for that. And it's like,
well, I can't think of nothing that has changed. I mean, I know a lot has changed, but I'm just thinking of like non-negotiables. Like, have we did some self-discovery?
Okay, yeah, work? Like the big stuff. The big stuff. Yeah, like, you're not going to go for somebody cheating on you all the time.
Oh, my
God. You know what I mean? That's... But it'd be like, you know, like, okay, I don't know what kind of podcast this is, but we married. So it's like, even sexually, like, it's certain things that you'd be like, okay, like, at first you might be like, okay, I'm not really open to that. And then you'd be like, okay, like, now I am, you know what I'm saying? But if you never like leave a door open for it to, if you never have a door to be open there, like you put that up and say, I'm never doing that. Like, then you don't have an opportunity to even see if you like that. I agree. That's why I said a door. I said a door. Regardless.
Yeah. that's really good. Listen, my single folks, hopefully you're taking some notes because they drop things that you should, you know, do in preparation or getting yourself ultimately prepared is the main thing that I took from that. Because that is super important. Self-love comes before you get in a relationship, not after.
Yes.
So Ode to Black Love. We talked about a little bit why you guys wanted to do that, but what have you learned from your relationship or what has grown as you started this podcast platform?
Ooh, I would say a lot.
A lot has changed. I think we kind of started it while when we first started therapy, right before?
Right before we started therapy.
So it was like, we grew with the podcast. So whatever, like we grew, our relationship grew with it. What I would say, like, I would think it's easier to answer, like, what have I taken from it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of relationships go through a lot of like hard stuff. Like everybody goes through something different and you'd be like, I don't know if I can make it through that. You know what I'm saying? Like when you think of it for yourself, but then when you have a chance to see with couples or talk to couples and they're like, yes, we worked through this, we got through this, and like we're on the other side of it. You're like, wow, like with hard work and determination and both parties willing to do or do and be better, like you can come out of a lot of stuff. Like we talked to parents that have lost children or deal with infidelity or somebody depressed or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wow, like y'all work through that and are on the other side of it and are living a happy life. Like it was bad at one point, but you both decided to come together and not give up on your union and your marriage and understand that, hey, we had a down moment and we're battling through that and we're able to be together. I think that's the biggest thing that I took away. Because a lot of times I feel like, especially like with infidelity and stuff like that, you're like, well, the marriage is tarnished. You know what I'm saying? Like the marriage is tarnished at that point. And it's like, well, sometimes that's the jumping off point for them to start to be even better than they were before. Mm-hmm. Not saying go out and cheat to like save your marriage or nothing. But it's like, sometimes it's like, it took that. And it's like, okay, they came together and discussed like, okay, where were we falling short in the marriage? Why did this even come up? Why was this even a thing? And then was able to be even better on the other side of it. So I just, again, back to my point, I feel like it showed me like a lot of different people go through a lot of different things. And with two people together, like a lot of things can be accomplished if you choose to.
I love that.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest thing that I've learned through doing our podcast is that marriage is going to look different for everybody. So what our marriage looks like may not be what somebody else's marriage looks like. And that's totally fine. Like it's so many different ways to do marriage and to do life with your partner. So as long as both of y'all are comfortable and in agreement on what that looks like for y'all, that's all that really matters. So working with podcasting with the different couples was very interesting at first because you would realize like everybody is different. Like things that we do, people may not do and so forth. And it's kind of beautiful to see, especially with Black love and Black couples. Like there's not just one way to do this stuff. It's so many different.
That's good, especially as this being, it's a perspective. It's not just one way to look at things.
Yes, exactly.
So I believe perspective is everything. And my mantra is change your mind to change your life. So I want to ask you both, what mindset shift did you have to make to change your life?
For me, yeah, I think it took even from after for me to go back to college. And I had this narrative psychology class, but basically it's like, the things you went through in the past aren't necessarily bad. Like, you don't always have to look at like your traumas and things like that bad. They help you become the person who you are today. So it was a big part of me. Like, when I first went to school, I had a tough time. Like, not because I wasn't smart enough to be in school. I just was going through a tough time mentally. Mm-hmm. Crashed out of school bad. I always was a good student. You know, like, when I decided to do school, I would have A's. But then I would decide not to do school, and I'd be failing. You know what I mean? So it was like, for all these years, like, I kind of held that. And it was like, well, you know, like, I don't know if I can go back to school. I don't know if I can blah, blah, blah. And it's like, don't look at it like that. It's like, I went through that, and I'm gonna be ashamed. I'll be ashamed of it sometimes, or I used to. I'm not as ashamed as I was then. Like, I'll be ashamed of stuff that I've been through. It's like, no, like, you need to look at that and be grateful, because that's, it made you who you are today. Like, you wouldn't be able to, you know, you, all of those years you was able to provide for your family, all of those years you were able to become who you are. I went through all of that stuff to be like a good spouse, or to be a whatever, whatever. And a lot of times you can look back on those things and be like, oh man, if I wouldn't have did that, a lot of regret. Sometimes I can hold a lot of regret. It's like, don't look at that stuff as regret. Like, that was just a stepping stone to get you where you are now, and appreciate where you are now. And like, so I guess the mantra, if I was to break it down to a mantra, is to like, be where your feet are, like, be where you are today. Like, don't look too far down the road. Don't look too far in the back, in the past. Like, be where your feet are. Just be grateful for where you are today, and understand like, that stuff was for a reason. And that's why you're here today. And like, you know, just be grateful that you are here today, because that's all that matters ultimately.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the biggest mindset shift I've had to make, and I feel like I am currently making, is just understanding that I have so much control over my life and over my reality. A lot of times back in like the day, and even sometimes now, I feel like a victim, like, to my reality, like, oh, these things are happening to me and I can't do anything about it. But realizing like, you got control over how you see this, over your perspective, also over what you want. So like, for instance, I've began a workout journey, and I've always kind of worked out, especially over the last 5 to 7 years, but I've never done it consistently. Mm. And every time I would fall off, I would be like, oh, well, dang, I just can't never do nothing. I can't stick with nothing. And I'm like, that's not true. Like, if you make your mind up and you choose to stick with it, you can stick with it. Fast forward to today, and I've been working out for 40 plus weeks, 3 to 5 days a week, most days 5. And so it's just like understanding that I do have control over my reality and over my ability to be disciplined. It's not something that is happening to me. Like, I can shape that for myself. Again, I'm still learning it with a lot of different aspects of life, but this workout journey has definitely shown me the control I truly have over my reality.
That is so good for you both. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so what does passion and what does purpose mean to you?
I would say passion to me is something that is like a driver, something that lights a fire within me, something that just gets me super excited or motivated. And then purpose is, to me, why I'm here. So like, what do I feel like God placed me on this earth to do? I believe that to be what my purpose is, or what purpose is for people.
I feel like they go hand in hand. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I got a passion for my purpose. Yes. You know, kind of deals. I got a passion for my purpose. Like, my purpose is, like, I feel like my purpose here is to help like families and other men to build like strong family units. Like, I feel like that's my purpose. And I'm very passionate about that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if like I feel like a fire inside of me, like, just talking, like, I smile, like, anytime I bring it up or think about it, it's like, yeah, I can go all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go all day. You don't have to light a fire under me. Like, when I'm in my purpose, I feel like I'm in my passion. Like, time is not an object. Yeah. I like lock in. I don't care how much time I could talk. Like, damn, we've been talking for 2 hours. I thought it'd been 15 minutes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm very passionate. Like I said, that's just something I really care about. I mean, the same thing with my family. Like, I'm very passionate about my family. It's like, I feel like something that you're passionate about, like, you ain't gonna let nothing get in the way. Like, it ain't no obstacle you can't overcome if you're passionate about it. It's like, crazy sports fans be passionate about their sports teams.
Yeah.
And they don't got the money to pay for them tickets, but they gonna find a way to get them tickets, you know, because they passionate about it. And I feel like, you know, like, my passion, I got a passion for my purpose, but like, passion is just that fire inside of you.
Feeling.
That fire inside of you that won't be turned away. like you, nothing's gonna stop you from doing it or being there or experiencing that, whatever it may be.
So would you say purpose is like the why and passion is like the feeling behind the why?
Sure. I mean, just like, I guess when I think of purpose is like, I said, like, why did God put me here?
Yeah.
Like, why am I here in this moment? You know, like, like, why am I here in this moment? Like, why did he put me here? Like, okay, he put me here for this. I went all of these years not knowing like what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be. And it's like, okay, like I found my identity. Like that's my identity or whatever. And then, like you said, like passion, like you said, it's kind of like the feeling. It's like the fire. It's like, okay, like it's like confirmation. Yeah, yeah, it's like confirmation. That's it's good. Like, I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm here, but like this is why I'm going to make sure that I stay in it. Yeah. You know, because like this feeling can't be matched by no party I go to, no movie I watch, no music I listen to. Like, nothing give me this feeling, you know, like something that I'm passionate about. So.
That's good. Y'all are speaking today. Y'all better. Okay, so we're wrapping up here, but I ask each guest that comes on this question because I feel it's very imperative for somebody that may be listening. So what has been an unfair advantage for you? Something that has happened in the progression of you guys' leveling up in your marriage or individually, but it can't necessarily be achieved by someone else because it was specifically curated for you. So your unfair advantage would be, in other words, your favor not being fair.
Ooh. That's a crazy question.
I love that question.
That's a crazy question.
I don't know. So, like when you asked that question, the first thing that came to mind is our connection. But I don't know how to articulate like how it's not fair. I just know like the way that we were brought together for the second time. And it was so kismet. It was so like deep. And even our connection now, it is just so deeply rooted in love and like you said, passion and all of that. Sometimes I will say, I feel like it's not fair to be married to my best friend and to have this loving connection.
Yeah.
Especially when I look at, well, I ain't even gonna say that, but I feel like that's one thing that's not fair. It's just like how God really brought us together to do the damn thing as it pertains to exhibiting and showcasing Black love.
That's real.
I like that. But I will say, like, I was thinking this, and sometimes when I'm speaking to, like, other guys, I think it is unfair, a little bit unfair advantage. Is like, I got a really supportive wife, like, super supportive. So like, sweet. You know, like, I'll be talking to other guys, like, you know, like, and I'll be having to preface it. It's like, I know my wife is kind of, like, super supportive, but you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you talk to your wife about, you know, maybe you feel like you having too much of a financial load or whatever, and you need, maybe she'll be cool if you like take the pay cut or whatever, you know, like, you know, not everybody is like that. Like, I don't have to worry about that at all. Like, if I ever come to Alexis, like, look, I need this, like, she's going to be like, okay with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never, I don't feel like it's anything I can come to her and be like, look, I need this to get by. Like, I need this. Like, I need to, if I came to her tomorrow and said, I need to quit my job right now. Like, I can't do it. She'd be like, take a little pause. Let's take a pause. And then she'd be like, what happened? And then she'd be like, okay. Okay. So it's like, I feel like it's an unfair advantage because like I can go back to school and it's like, okay, like I can spend extra days at school studying, or like when I take intercessions class, when I took that intercession class and I was unavailable for like an entire week, like being a spouse or being a dad. And I mean, we only made like five, we made it like today, four or five before we start having some turbulence. But you know what I'm saying? Like to have a toddler and to have your partner become like poof, thin air for the next like 5 days. Like a lot of people don't have that. Like they might be getting cussed out or whatever. But she made my lunch. She cooked, you know, she did all of that stuff. She made me breakfast. She gave me a snack to go to school. All that kind of stuff. It's like, I just feel like it's a little unfair because all you can do is control yourself, right? In the grand scheme of things in the world, all you can do is control yourself. So it's like, okay, I could be the best spouse I can be, but it's a little unfair. You know, it's not the same if you don't have a spouse that's as supportive, like in what you want to do and stuff like that. So that would be my.
That's good. And that really is an unfair advantage because most people don't have that. And you guys being super transparent, you guys being like Like, I can see it. Like, from meeting you guys on this screen, like, your chemistry, your connection, your bond is one that is just so close that it doesn't matter what you say, as long as you say it, right? That's what I mean. Yeah. So what do you guys have coming up next?
Woo. I guess we're working on some. I guess we can't disclose it all the way, but we're working on like a little series. We got something coming up with Notice, so we should be putting out something pretty soon. Notice Studios here in Oklahoma. We're working on like a couple series. We've been so busy. I think we're gonna get back potting, especially since we set everything up today. I feel like it's like, okay, like we've been talking about it. Like, okay, you want to get back into it? You want to get back into it? And be like, yeah, I do. We need to figure out some time, work out some time. So I think we're going to start putting out some episodes again here and there, but our immediate future, I guess we should be recording next week with them and putting together like a couple series, talking to some other couples about some topics and things like that, which we don't got a date like when it's going to come out, but it should be probably by the end of the year type stuff.
So. Yeah. So the project with Notice Studios, and then like you said, we definitely going to start potting again. We don't have an official launch date, but we knew like this interview and the project we have with Notice will be a catalyst to kind of jumping back up in the next month or so. And then also just to be quite honest, enjoying this deck that my baby built. Like, it's just beautiful. Fall is coming up. We about to put the TV up and like we just gonna be probably chilling, hanging out with some friends. And
yeah, starting to be back a little social. I feel like last year we kind of
The last 8 months.
The last 8 months, I feel like we kind of siloed up because we needed to get through some things. Like, my school old picked up. She had a new position at work.
Yeah.
And we just kind of like siloed in and locked in. Our son, he demanded a little more attention. Yeah,
started school,
demanded a little more attention and a little bit of our time. So he was like, all right, like, we can't do it all.
Yeah.
So we had to take a little break. But I think we're back. Like I said, I'm enjoying this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we like that little fire that, you know, we forget.
Yeah. That's what's up. I'm excited to see you guys jump back into it and definitely are going to be on the lookout for that that couple series for sure. So if you could leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
Just one thing?
Yeah, one thing. I would say, like, it's always the corny thing to say. I feel like when you talk to people, because obviously we're here because we're a couple. But it's like learn how to communicate, learn to be in touch with your emotions. Like, I'm still not the best at it. So, but it's a thing out there called the emotion wheel, especially fellas.
Yes.
Like, it's a thing. Just look it up. It's an emotion wheel. And it's like, okay, like, angry is like a big thing. But it's like, okay, like, where are you in your anger? Like, are you sad? Are you frustrated? Are you blah, blah, blah? And that'll help you communicate with your partner. I still need to do better about it. I think I am a little better. But I feel like learning how to communicate and learning the verbiage and having the language to communicate is part of the part of like why people can't communicate clearly. So if we're talking about a relationship, or it don't have to be like with a partner,
right?
But it could be just like people you work with or people you deal with on a daily basis. If you can communicate your emotions and your feelings or more clearly, I feel like you can have more success and things of that sort. So that's my thing.
I like that. The first thing that kind of came to my mind is like choose love every day. It doesn't have to be with a romantic partner. You can love anybody, your family, your friends, but choose to spread love every single day and watch how your life changes. Watch how your life changes.
Yes, that is so good. Where can the people find you both?
Well, they can find us as a couple / podcast platform at Ode to Black Love on Instagram and TikTok, then Ode to Black Love Podcast on Facebook and YouTube. As far as our individual social media handles, my Instagram is at organic_lek, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I'm organic_journey.
So. I stole his name.
She stole my name. But yeah, so if you go to Ode to Black Love, you can find us both from there. Like, that's an easy jumping off point. It's easy to type in Ode to Black Love. I'm sure we got our stuff in there.
Yes.
Yes, that is so good. Like, I'm so glad that you guys were able to come on today. Ode to Black Love, German Leg, please keep your perspective because it definitely looks good on you both. This conversation was great. I hope that whoever is listening, y'all go back and take some notes, especially for my married people, but especially for my single people, because it's something that you need to hear and definitely something you need to apply to your life. Guys, I love y'all. We can keep coming with the episodes. Y'all stay tuned because we're going back to back to back. I'll see y'all next week. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.